Hey, grandkids, welcome to a fairly special edition of Stunt Granny, the audio. With me tonight is everybody's favorite uncle.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely Eric Nelson's favorite. I'm Dusty, for those of you who are listening for the first time or don't care to remember. I'm glad to do an audio anytime I get the chance. So, Jeremy's got another weekend bender, and Eric's got computer problems. So,
yeah, and wow, I have been out of the loop, or else maybe we would have recorded more than one of these things a week here at some point.
Yeah.
Hot damn. So that certainly causes some problems. It'd be nice to be able to get more than one up a week, but aside from those dreadful previews that Jeremy and I have to do, essentially.
Oh no! I thought that was the best audio
we've
ever done.
Well, I didn't say quality-wise that it was dreadful. It was just dreadful having to talk about TNA's pay-per-view.
And that's what made it so great. It was a horrible pay-per-view, and you guys were not interested in anything at all. And Jeremy was possibly drunk. So.
I only wish I would have been drunk, too. That might have been the only thing that would have kicked that whole shebang up a notch.
Oh, man. Things are awful in TNA right now, and we'll get to that in just a second here. But like I said to you off the air, I want to start on a positive note.
Well, and I think we're talking TNA, so I think that maybe Eric and I had said something last week, but some additional news has come out since then.
Mm-hmm.
Our good buddy Jim Cornette is no longer employed.
Basically, he got let go, and if he hadn't got let go, he would have quit. So, things were bound to boil over at some point. And it all stems from TNA's desire to make no money whatsoever as a wrestling company. And I'm dead serious. How can you expect to make money with the same two guys running the ship that ran WCW off a cliff? Is there any way to justify this?
They're older and wiser.
I still, to this day, I haven't heard that Ed Ferrara apologized for mocking Jim Ross's ailment, a serious affliction that he couldn't help.
Yeah, that was pretty classless on his part, to say the least.
Yes, it was.
And, I don't think Vince Russo, and how long has he been with TNA at this, been with TNA at this point?
Right, because he's been off and on with TNA since the very beginning. But,
his time away and his conversion into reborn Christian does not seem to have helped his writing skills in any way, shape, or form.
No, the guy it's the same bag of tricks that's been played out for 10 years now. So, I don't understand how anyone can, be in favor of this move. Basically, they made it impossible for Jim Cornette to be employed there because everyone knows how he feels about Ed Ferrara. It's been well documented. And really, I don't see how they made the right choice one bit. I really don't.
They rarely, if ever, make the right choice.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I posted that they're not a serious wrestling company. I swear to God, they must be somebody's science experiment on how long an improperly run company can stay in business.
Yeah, that's really the surprising thing is that they haven't, because what, didn't they have a cash infusion problem maybe 6 months ago or something like that?
Yes, absolutely.
And that just, like, went away, like it, you know, it just got swept under the rug, like, no, we didn't really need the money, it's, everything's okay, we're very happy, we have a 1.2 now.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Although, what did they do? They signed that agreement with us. Well, it was just an extension of. Oh no, they're going to produce more material for Spike now.
Yeah, there's going to be another show coming up. Mm-hmm. Which is bad for wrestling fans, but it's good for them because it makes more advertising revenue. So.
Yeah, and I can just wow. If Impact is the quality of Thunder, what will be the quality of the new show?
Oh God! Like late period WCW Saturday Night when they were having like Barry Darso win squash matches and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's. I used to love Saturday Night, and that really went down the shitter at the end.
Oh, yeah, that was awful crap.
Yeah, because they used to have some quality matches on there. At least, though, like, usually the main event was at least a quality match on the Saturday Night show there for
mm-hmm.
quite some time. But, wow, yeah, you're right, it was. It was like Barry Darso's Squashville at the end.
I mean, for a while there, they had such a great roster that they could just randomly pick two people to throw into a match that meant nothing, and chances are it would be pretty good. But then as time went on, you know, they lost most of the Mexicans along the way, and they lost Benoit and Malenko and Guerrero, you know, and things just went way south real quick.
Man, so I don't know, is Cornette really said what his plans are, or is he just going to sit there and be the next Paul Heyman, and when everybody has a writing problem, they keep on bringing his name up as the next possible replacement for whomever is in trouble?
Sure. No, he hasn't said anything definite. He did say in that Who's Slamming Who interview that he's in Louisville, and OVW is in Louisville, and the main reason he wasn't working for OVW is now gone, so that's a definite possibility.
So Louisville might get some good wrestling back. Good for
right.
them.
Yeah, you know, that's great for them. Bad for us, because we can't see it. But,
Oh, wouldn't that actually be hilarious if he started to build that up and he actually knocked TNA out of business?
That'd be fabulous. There are plenty of free agent wrestlers he could bring in to help him do it, too.
Yeah, there are. And, hell, even I'm still surprised sometimes that there was enough quality in Pro Wrestling Ohio that you could definitely have guys that are no worse. And actually, some of the guys in TNA I like, it's just that the booking is so piss poor constantly that I can't give a shit about the fact that they're good wrestlers.
Yeah, well, there are some tremendous talents that I do care about in TNA. Like, I like Matt Morgan a lot. I like Hernandez. I like Brutus Magnus and Doug Stanhope. I really like them. shout out. Who else? Beer Money's okay. You know, just as an example, most of the women wrestlers they have are fantastic. Christy Hemme's nice to look at, and I'll look at her every chance I get. So, yeah. But the booking is just so awful that there's no incentive to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, they should never really be happy that their ratings are close to what ECW gets. Like, I mean, that just should not be their goal in any way, shape, or form.
Their goal should be Monday Night Raw's ratings.
Yeah, which is not exactly stellar.
Oh. But if they can't reach that, then they failed, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And if nothing else, they should be trying to build towards that. And
yeah.
I'm not really sure when they've been outside of the small needle budging of between like 1 and 1.3.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, even get that puppy up into the 2 area. I don't know. Maybe maybe Sting leaving at the end of next month will open things up for somebody, I don't know, one less fucking wasted space old guy who really doesn't want to be there wrestling. So there, that does have some upside to it.
No, I agree with what you're saying, but knowing TNA, it probably just opens up a spot for like Scott Hall or something.
Oh man,
he's back into wrestling.
Isn't that
and
sad truth?
Typical thing for TNA to do, to bring back a guy like that. So nothing surprises me about that company at this point.
Yeah, this is true, unfortunately, for all of us involved in wanting to watch wrestling way too much.
Oh, God. I said I wanted to start it on an upbeat note, Kevin. You failed.
Well... Let's try to move on then, and I don't have a segue, but something that has some large potential that you've already posted about on the great Stunt Granny website that really needs to be talked over. One, Rampage Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Quitting his UFC career to become B.A. Baracus. In the A-team.
Now, dare I say, Rampage went on a rampage with that little, you know, spiel he gave.
Yeah, he definitely lives up to the billing of his name.
Mm-hmm.
When things do not quite go his way.
Like I said, Mike is definitely insane. The guy is a little bit crazy, a little loopy, as Wayne Keller would say.
Yes, he is. Now, is he crazier or less crazy than Kurt Angle?
Oh, God. I am going to say that Kurt Angle's about as crazy as you can get.
Yeah, I agree with you, unfortunately. Yeah, man from Pittsburgh has no crazy meter. Rampage just seems to go off every now and again. He seems to keep it in check for the most part. Kurt Angle, it's more of an everyday thing.
An everyday crazy, yeah. It's a white trash blend of crazy that he brings to the table.
Yeah, and I'm used to that. White trash Pennsylvania stuff.
Oh, he's making Dan Marino look bad. Trying to represent, man.
No, he's making even Shane Douglas look bad.
So have
but,
you...
anyway... Speaking, let's get away from at least those two knuckleheads and get to the point here, I suppose,
right.
About Quentin here.
So he goes off on a rant directed at Dana White for the misjustices that he feels that Dana White has perpetrated and the disrespect that he's shown, I guess, and he's just basically going to take his ball and go home.
Yeah, and this seems to happen every now and again with Dana White. You know, Tito took his ball and left. Randy Couture, really not even all that long ago. I mean, everybody still kind of perceives him as a saint most of the time, but he did pick his ball up and take off for a couple of months, too.
Right.
So, you know, as entertaining as Dana White can be with his abrasive style, I think that it obviously takes its toll on some of the guys that are involved with this company.
Oh, definitely. A lot more like Vince McMahon than he might realize. Rubbing people the wrong
way. You know, I was just thinking that, too, because that thought hadn't entered my mind until about 5 seconds ago. Wow, yeah, he is kind of like Vince a little too much, maybe. Oh, man.
He's basically promoting the best wrestling on television now, you know? He's got the best deal in wrestling in Brock Lesnar, you know? It's, there's, you know, storylines and interesting characters. It's everything wrestling should be.
It really is. And, they actually have, and it really, I think we continually harp on stuff like this, but it wouldn't be that hard to get some type of a ranking system together, for Pete's sake.
No.
You know, and they don't even need to have, like, you know, number one contender, number two, three, four, five through ten or whatever.
Right.
Just, you know, you should be able to do it with how the guys wrestle, like, and go, oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
They're in the mid-card. We understand. This isn't a problem.
We need some semblance of order of the wrestlers and, like, some kind of indication that wins and losses mean something. It's not hard to do.
Not even a little bit. And they seem to continually do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're too busy writing their comedy that isn't funny, you know? And we're going to get to that in a short second here, because when we talk about Raw, there's all kinds of comedy that wasn't funny to talk about.
Yes, there was, and I was very glad I did not watch most of it. And the one comedy that I saw was Comedy Gold. But, yeah, Rampage definitely was, let's say, a main eventer, dare I say.
Sure.
And
record. He was like 30-7, so very good record.
Yep, very charismatic on the mic. I have heard any number of his interviews, some with Jason Ellis, some with Opie and Anthony. Guy's fucking entertaining all the time.
Absolutely.
I've heard at least a handful or more interviews with him, and funny every time. It's so, like, he has the mic skills. He obviously has a background that could get him to fit into the professional wrestling industry quite well.
I think it'd be perfect for him. I think he's a perfect match for the wrestling world. The first time I saw him, he was giving a crazy promo, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy gets it, you know?
Yeah, no, I think he totally would get it. He has an amateur wrestling background.
Yeah.
So, and those guys, for the most part, seem to adapt quite well. Like, I mean, I even think that Charlie Haas in the ring is good. It's just that his personality kind of sucks.
Oh, absolutely. Charlie
Haas
is a perfect example of why managers could come in handy for some people. Because he definitely has the ability. You know, he just is charismatically challenged. And it never really mattered when he was with Kurt Angle and Shelton. So.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure Mr. Jackson would not have to worry about anybody being his mouthpiece.
Oh, no, not at all.
But, yeah, I mean, he would probably catch on pretty quick. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is he really going to have a whole lot of parts out there for him after he plays Mr. T? Well, okay, not Mr. T, B.A. Baracus, I'm sorry.
Right, yeah, get it right, dummy.
Get it right,
yeah,
fool.
No. That's right. No, I don't think so. He might get bit parts, but he's never going to be The Rock, you know?
Yeah, that's why I did, I was quite amused at, as much as I enjoy Jason Ellis on SiriusXM there, he has a thing against professional wrestling, and they talk about MMA a lot more. And they were saying that Rampage was going to hit it bigger than The Rock, and I just kind of laughed to myself.
No way.
Yeah.
Credit where it's due. The Rock is a great actor. You know, not just for a wrestler. He's a good actor, period.
I agree. Like, I haven't seen all of his movies, but, wow, he even made something half-decent out of that shitburger, The Scorpion King.
Yes, yes, he did. The only reason to watch that.
And Witch Mahicket was pretty funny there. The Rundown was quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
And my fucking shitball of an ex-wife made me sit through, what was that? The Disney one that he did with the little girl.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I know what you mean, though, because I got dragged to see it, too.
Yeah, thank God it was only because it was on Stars that I had to watch it or something. But, yeah, I mean, he was good in that. I enjoyed him in, what the heck was that he did with Exhibit?
I'm to remember names of stuff. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast today, dude.
Oh, now I'm just going to have to go up and look them up on IMDb here, and we can sprack off about something else. I don't know. Is there much really else to say as far as Rampage goes, though?
Well, how would you use him? Like, how do you see him being used in a professional wrestling context? Do you give him, like, a Goldberg push? Or, you know, do you slowly introduce him kind of thing? What do you do with him?
I don't know. Like, because it's still kind of funky. I'm always surprised at how much time they still made some of the good amateur wrestlers dwell in the minor leagues. Like, would he end up losing some of his name value? Like, if they did something like that with him, would he lose some of his name value in the meantime, and you almost would have to go with maybe a slightly slower push?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You can't waste too much time in developmental with him, because the iron is perfectly hot right now. And it was called, what was it, The Game Plan? That it?
The Game Plan was the one with the child in it.
Where he adopts the little girl and plays football, yeah. So,
yeah.
I also saw Race to Witch Mountain, by the way.
So oh, did dragged, you?
I've been dragged to a couple Rock movies, and bad movies, but good acting by him, so...
Gridiron Gang was the other one that I was thinking of.
Yep.
And I did get a small kick out of his appearance on Reno 911 Miami.
Yes, yes.
Overall, that movie was disappointing because I set a very high standard for Reno 911.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't possibly live up to that standard. I agree with you.
Yeah. And wow, and I completely forgot that Rock is going to be in Johnny Quest, the movie.
They've been talking about that one for a while. And he's going to play the
pretty awesome. So, yeah, if anybody, yeah, like, he's already up. Oh, okay, well, they count some of these movies as wrestling stuff, so that doesn't count.
Sure, yeah.
But The Rundown was 2003?
Something like that, yeah.
He's been in, like, 20 movies at this point or something like that?
That's a fair estimate, mm-hmm.
Yeah, just from kind of trying to pick in between this other stuff.
Yeah.
But thank God I did not see Dune.
Yeah, no thank you.
But yeah, I mean, if somebody thinks that Rampage is going to pull out 20 motion pictures, then I think they'll be a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
I mean, that's going to be bad, but I just don't think there's a role for him like that. So,
yeah, and
but
I think the craziness might get to some people. Like, The Rock
yeah.
is not a crazy person. Like, he's pretty low-key. I mean, hell, I barely I almost missed his divorce from his wife who was 10 years older than him or whatever the hell she was.
That's right. He Pink Panthered that one right under the radar.
Yeah, so, you know, the crazy level might get there. I don't know. Maybe Rampage would go Lohan on us or something if he stayed in Hollywood for too long.
Right.
But that would fit perfectly in with everybody else in professional wrestling, really.
Yes. And he could really inhabit the role that used to be occupied by Brock Lesnar. Just a real tough guy who can kick your ass, and he might be fairly new to the business, but he's still really good. That's how I see him, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he could really do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would caution against, winning streaks are notoriously bad in pro wrestling. Because after you've won however many in a row, you always look bad when you lose, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, because that's it. And I just watched WrestleMania 25 before, at least most of it, before we got on here. And, yeah, like, the Undertaker streak, like, the only time it would have been broken was this past year against Shawn Michaels, in my estimation.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
So, like, from now forward, however many WrestleManias The Undertaker wrestles, it's mm-hmm. going to be completely and utterly boring to me. Like, I don't know if, you know, like, the, you know, that kind of tension for me will ever be there. So, yeah, like, you kind of keep on building up that tension, and then when he loses, it's kind of like, oh, crap. What do we do now?
Right.
So, yeah, like, they can't even have him get that far. Like, even if it's a screw job loss or something like that, you know, what the fuck, get it over with, just do it, and then we won't have to worry about the streak.
Have him lose and get it over with fairly early in his career. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, speaking of losses, there was a and screw jobs, there was a screw job finish at the last WWE pay-per-view, and the participant in the original screw job in the fine city of Montreal might be coming back to TVs near you sometime soon.
Uh-huh, interesting.
Yes, this is another one that you had some say-so on the website here. So why don't you start us off on some of your general thoughts about Mr. Bret Hart possibly making it back to the WWE?
Well, the natural inclination is he probably wants to wrestle, but he probably can't. If done right, he can probably have one or two good matches left in him. As to who his opponent would be, I don't know. Everyone's naturally going to say he should have some interaction with Shawn Michaels, but he probably doesn't want to, would be my guess. So he's probably going to end up on SmackDown. and like I speculated in the post, probably as a general manager, which would make some sense.
Yeah, I think it'd be a pretty solid role for him. I could only hope that they would move. I just feel so bad for Teddy Long. Like, I don't know why they feel the need to fuck with him.
They've made him look bad for years now. And it's just that years they booked him mediocrely.
Yeah, like, he always makes the best of it, and just, like, when he himself in a real groove, they start to do something screwy, like this whole storyline of, hey, you might be fired, like, because, like, Vince had dropped it for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was maybe about a month, and I'm like, oh, okay, Teddy's getting his groove back. And then sure enough, like, just as he's getting things going again,
yeah.
Fucktwat McMahon shows back up.
I don't know. I think Vince just likes fucking with people, you know? Because he knows he can. He's not the nicest guy in the drawer. So, but poor Teddy always seems to get the brunt of it. You're right.
Yeah, and that's just incredible. Well, you know, I guess it's a paycheck, so it's kind of hard to argue with. But
and
yeah,
it's probably a good paycheck too. So.
Yeah, and I don't know. Would Bret Hart has been fairly demanding about anything involving his contracts recently. I would imagine that there would be pretty much a no Vince McMahon fucking with me clause.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, unless I fully approve it before it happens, kind of a deal with him.
Right.
So that would make things kind of interesting from a general manager's standpoint, that he wouldn't be able to be blown up, really, like Teddy Long.
Mm-hmm. Because Bret is at the point where he doesn't need it, you know? He doesn't need any of that nonsense if he can help it. So it's basically going to be on his terms, I would imagine.
Yeah, which I think might really be a benefit to everybody involved. Because, though I think SmackDown is probably at least the best wrestling show that I watch on a weekly basis. You know, I don't think it would be a bad thing to have Bret Hart there. And even if he's just acting as GM, I would hope that he would be kind enough and smart enough to maybe help out some of the younger guys. And I think that's another good reason he'd be great for SmackDown, is that since that is kind of the Neverland for all the younger guys, he'd kind of be the perfect guy to teach them the way over there, at least, you know. Obviously not formally in the ring, you know, in a match kind of way, but definitely, you know, off camera.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, having Bret Hart on your payroll can only be a good thing. And since he was really, if not the best wrestler of the 90s, he was close, you know? I don't care what Ric Flair says.
Yeah, and I don't care how much I've ripped on him for being a moron, because I generally have. But, I mean, I did miss some of the early to mid-90s there in my wrestling, but I've certainly seen enough of that, the old stuff back, to know how good he was in the ring.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, I just really can't think that there's a downside to having him around either.
No. Like I said, it can only be a benefit. To interact with him on camera, you know, so he can lend some credibility to you that way. And then behind the scenes, he can definitely teach you how to work. So, I think it's a great move. I hope it happens.
Well, unfortunately, since we're on the topic of TV shows,
Oh
and
boy.
we brought up SmackDown.
Yes.
I guess we should bring up the other two programs here that have already aired this week. And I have not in any way read spoilers for this coming SmackDown, which might actually excite me.
I try to avoid spoilers at all costs, because if I do watch it, I want to be surprised. I still want there to be some kind of surprise in wrestling, some element of intrigue.
Yeah, I have not really avoided them on purpose recently, but it's just been like a fuck this, I want to do more for the site kind of a thing.
Sure.
So, no matter how much my laziness in posting is, I am actually working on the article that Eric teased there last week for me. Hopefully it'll be out here soon. Yeah.
It's like the Guns N' Roses album. It's coming very soon, trust us.
Well, I actually did get somewhere after work today. I will admit that. I actually worked out about three or four paragraphs, so that's getting somewhere as far as I'm concerned.
All right, excellent. Okay.
Yep. And so, anywho, did you get to watch the fine episode of Raw that was on? Because I sure as shit didn't. Except for probably about the last half an hour or so.
Well, in so much as fast-forwarding through it as watching it, yes, I did. They've lost their way so much. I want to get angry, but it's just sad. It's just sad how bad things are right now. Now, here, one thing I will rant about real quick. We just talked about a possible general manager for SmackDown. Now, the general manager has a heel thing, is played out beyond belief, and I don't want to ever see that again. But I found something worse than that. That's the rotating, revolving door celebrity guest host. What the hell? This is a fucking... It's a travesty, because it's a substitute for creating new stars and putting people over. No young wrestler can climb the ladder on Monday Night Raw because there's no time to do it. If the camera isn't focused on one of the top four stars, it's focused on the celebrity guest host. This is a terrible formula for a wrestling show, and it needs to stop. Smart people don't shit like this.
You mean to tell me that Evan Bourne getting 5 minutes of TV time and losing isn't helping him move up the ladder?
Can you believe it? I'm going way out on that branch, yeah.
Yeah, and also a young and upcoming guy that I had also latched on to, Mr. Jack Swagger, getting about an equally large amount of TV time and then walking off. Oh, God, no. It was only a minute and a half before he walked off with a fucking title belt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my freaking Jesus on a pony.
God, there's no upward mobility on Monday Night Raw. If I got sent to, let's say I'm a young wrestler and I got sent to Raw, I mean, quitting the wrestling business would be about the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be relatively close, because even the man who got the pin against Evan Bourne, unfortunately, came in hot as all get out, just like MVP, just like Bourne, just like Swagger, and wow, they just doused a bucket of water on him. And yeah, even his win against Evan Bourne probably will not mean a whole lot come next week or the week after that.
won't be the least bit remembered. So,
which is also just a damn shame. There are four guys right there.
Yeah.
That there are three guys right there that you know they could do something with that. Unfortunately, are being wasted in lieu of, as you so eloquently mentioned, comedy spots with the rotating GM.
As Jim Cornette said, funny don't draw money. There's a place for comedy, and Santino occupies that spot pretty well. He might be a jerk in real life, but he's fucking hilarious. And, yeah. So some mid-card comedy is fine. But it's all over the fucking show. They think that's what their show is, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and if they... I mean, I just can't believe how funny they think it is. Like, I mean, I just continually, like, no matter how many times I say it, my state of disbelief, their standards of comedy are quite bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I might not be the funniest guy in the world, but I know what is and isn't funny. You know, I don't have to be a cook, a world-class chef, to know that you just burned your souffle, you know? And week after week, they do the comedy equivalent of burning their souffle on national television. So,
Yeah. And even their comedy mid-carder there, as you know, he has been beaten into the ground so far that,
you
know, it's going to be harder to pull him out than a lawn dart out of your cousin's leg.
It sounds like you speak from experience on that one. Maybe someday we'll have a separate audio.
Yes. Yes, that horrible tragedy from childhood.
Sadness.
Okay, go ahead.
That they think they're funny is that they showed that skit twice. The opening skit where Cedric gets out of the limo, and then there's football players and a farmer with a goat and a circumcised baby and an old lady and I don't know what the fuck else. Chimps on Ice came out, I don't know. And they showed that segment twice. They were so proud of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather see the regular clown car act at a circus than watch that, because I did catch that at some point. I flipped over, and I'm like, seriously?
Right.
I mean, are you fucking serious?
It's unreal. They think that's funny. You know, it's stunning how ridiculous it is. I'd be laughing if I wasn't crying, you know? but yeah, the whole show centered around Cedric the Entertainer, who, if that name isn't an oxymoron, I don't know what is. And
yeah, when they're pimping a movie that he was in, what, like 4 years ago or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And get like Heidi and Spencer or something at least. I mean, come on, you can't come up with somebody that's D grade and at least a little more current.
No, I'm just begging him to pick a neutral to babyface general manager and stick with it and stop this stupid celebrity nonsense. It doesn't draw significant ratings. It only hurts the product. You know, it doesn't sell fucking the house shows where the wrestlers have to sell. There's not going to be a guest celebrity, you know?
Yeah. And you honestly just, you could not talk me into going to a house show. Like, there's no, like, when they come to Columbus, because I think they come, there's at least one recording here and one house show, a minimum of a year. And sure. There's no way. You cannot talk me into that house show whatsoever. Like, even if you, like, only if you handed me a ticket and drove me down there would be the only way that I'd do
sure.
that.
Mm-hmm. Because you know nothing's going to happen. It's going to be a mediocre time and just a waste of money. So, I don't, they just don't get it. They just don't get it at all. It's not
nope.
that fucking hard.
But you know what? We did get one piece of what I thought was comedy gold on Monday.
Okay.
And that was Lillian Garcia's goodbye speech.
I was hoping you'd forget to bring her up, but...
Oh, no. I hadn't really watched too much of the show, and in between watching stuff that I had on the DVR, I flipped over, and I honestly did not see her do anything else. But I was glad that she put on a crying festival and said more horrendous things that equaled the garbage that I watch on CSI Miami on a weekly basis.
Oh, she is not an elegant speaker. I will go off on that branch right now.
Yeah, and how did she get out of the embarrassing last day at the office thing that the WWE always has? Like, how could they not have, I know that Kali just had the knee surgery, but how could he not come down and, like, be her lover or something like that and have walk off with her?
I don't know. It's always mystified me, their treatment of her. She was, you know, if you like her, that's fine, but I thought she was horrible at her job. How can you be horrible at your job for 10 years and keep that job? You know? Only in professional wrestling.
Yeah, no, job performance-wise, I always thought she was pretty horrendous outside of the actual singing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they can get any old schmo to sing it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you what, if they picked up the woman that .net says that they picked up, wow, are we in the clear for an upgrade in every way, shape, and form?
To be honest, and this is just my personal taste, Jeremy in a dress would be an upgrade. But
well, I will vouch for Jeremy's announcing abilities because he did quite a good job for me and my buddy in our hardcore wrestling match back at our graduation party in '99.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's the 10th anniversary, and I might just bust out those pictures for Stunt Granny.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was
so,
I was the designated jobber in my little promotion that I was in. I never really cared about, you know, winning or losing. I did give myself the title once, so you can consider me like a Ric Flair, the champion that always loses. So...
21-time champion.
Right.
You think?
Yes, yes.
Oh. Well, yeah, I honestly think that that is about enough time spent on Raw and Lillian, really. I just had to say that I found that her speech just hilariously bad.
Yeah.
And I was just in tears after listening to it.
Not the
tears of she's going, the tears of I can't believe she's crying tears.
Yeah, this might be the last time we ever talk about her, so I just want to say good riddance to bad rubbish. here's hoping you never cross my mind again, Lillian. All right.
I don't know. There was at least one good thing on ECW
Yes, there was.
that probably needs to be talked about. 'Cause really, Yoshitatsu is just kind of spinning his wheel in his position right now.
Yes, he is.
And I was really kind of shocked at the response that he got this week. Like, I really kind of paid attention, and they kept on bringing Stryker kept on bringing it up. And when they record this stuff, I always try to look to the background to see if the crowd is actually moving and doing something. And they
Right.
actually did look like
Speaker
they
tells
were
the
in support of him. Like, oh, it didn't look like the crowd noises were, canned in or anything like that, which I thought was pretty impressive, really.
I will agree with you. He's getting a genuine response, and the reason is simple. He's something different. He's good and he's different. And it's really that simple.
Yeah, and he is probably yet another guy. I don't know if he has mic skills or not, but another fine example of, hey, we could really use a manager right now if they do not feel that his verbal skills are up to par.
It's again so easy. A manager can solve the talking problem issue in no time flat. And then
Yep.
Yoshitatsu can get in the ring and let his wrestling do the talking. So, but wrestling has lost its way and just doesn't get it. So,
No, it does not.
you have to have gigantic breasts to be a manager these days.
Even the gigantic breast variety is really few and far between.
Sure.
'Cause what's her name is Rosa Mendez is with Carlito now.
There's Rosa. There's Katie Lee, of course, with Paul Virchow.
Yeah, and she's really less of a manager and more of just a tag along.
Doesn't serve much of a purpose, I will grant
Although
that.
she did get a little bit of mic time this week, though.
Yeah, and she had that like showdown with Hurricane, who is a complete waste of space and deserves to get fired. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, he
I'm trying to take
hasn't
advantage of this audio time to get in as many of my talking points as possible. Hurricane sucks. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, he has not impressed me, especially with his non-conditioning habits. Him and Samoa Joe seem to go to the same dojo, which serves way too many Krispy Kremes, for the professional wrestling variety.
I would say it's worse with Gregory Helms because Samoa Joe can turn being fat into a look, if he pulls it off right. But
Yeah.
Hurricane Helms has no excuse. Get your ass to the gym. Your job
Yeah,
is
and
to be an athlete.
he's such a little guy too that Samoa Joe's just kind of generally a bigger dude.
Right. That's why, I mean, obviously that's not an excuse, but I mean it's as much of an excuse as he can have. But the Hurricane doesn't even have that. So.
Yeah. And Hurricane can't say that it's his damn Samoan genes.
Exactly.
Well, let's I think we will probably agree on this. Let's try to end on a positive note here.
Please, I sound so grumpy.
Mr. Zack Ryder and Captain Charisma
Yes.
Put together what I would call a damn good match.
Absolutely. It was given plenty of time, and they just sort of went out there and did their thing. And that's what it should be all about. They went, what, 10 to 15 minutes? And the only thing I didn't like about it was Ryder's outfit. And if that's the worst thing you can say about the match, then hell.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of getting used to the one-legged thing. But what, he had gone almost all white. That was really strange.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There needs to be more purple or something there.
Yeah, he had done the mostly purple before, and it does look a little bit better.
A little more flattering on him than all white. All white only looks good on a hot chick with big breasts. That's my opinion. I'm right, though.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that choice of outfit on a woman.
But, yeah, Christian did a good job of carrying the match, and, you know, Ryder's getting to a point where he doesn't need to be carried either.
Yeah, he's really been impressing me. I really like that. And I don't know if this will bump him down into a, you know, I thought that was a bit of a throwaway match last week. I wouldn't mind them kind of having a an actual feud between him and Yoshi, since they kind of they kind of skipped over that portion of last week's show this week.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, yeah, the two buffoons are stuck, you know, mauling jobbers every week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of this match, you know, we have Sir William Regal there reasserting his spot as the number one contender.
Which is
Tiffany
fine.
Might make him jump through a hoop or two to reestablish that status. But, yeah, I mean, I think he can be good and can, you know, maybe let Christian move on maybe at some point if Mr. Regal takes over.
Sure, sure. I think it bodes well for Zack Ryder's future, and that's important. Young guys need to get over. And I think that's the best thing about this arrangement with ECW, because otherwise I would just get rid of ECW altogether. And if you're worried about losing an hour of TV time, well, USA wants Raw to be 3 hours, so there it is back again, you know? But if they're going to keep with this format, yeah, it's not a bad idea to run young guys up against people like Christian and Regal.
Yep, and, yeah, even the good guys like Yoshi, he's had, what, did he have one or two matches against Regal?
Yeah, I don't remember how many. I remember at least one. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, even giving him something a little more substantial in the length of match department with Regal there.
Sure.
You know, because I think Ryder got a little more time with Christian this time than he did in their last match that I thought was pretty damn good also.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you kind of work them up in increments, you know. You don't just throw them out there for a 15-minute match with a guy that's pretty well-known, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Yoshi's had like a 6-minute match or something on, I believe it was on Superstars there with Regal, you know. Maybe work him in a 10-minute match and then later down the line something like 15 minutes. And, you know, we can really see what Mr. Tatsu is made out of.
Right. I like it. That's perfect. That's what they did with Ryder, and that's what they should do with all these young guys. Except Abraham Washington, who they should turn over to the firing squad. But, anywho.
Was that a good Tony Atlas Glass impersonation?
It was perfect. It was perfect. Tony Atlas was a fan, damn it.
Oh, man. Well, I think, speaking of Christian and Regal, maybe we should go ahead and hit the kill switch on this fine edition of the Stunt Granny audio, unless there's something else that you would like to bring up.
Well, do you know something I don't?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, I mean, just keep checking on stuntgranny.com. There's always cool stuff getting posted, and if you haven't registered for the message board yet, you better do that right now, because it's cool and it's free, and it's a place where you can interact with us idiots.
Alrighty, well, for Mr. Yeebink, this is Mr. DeFrango, and it is time for Grandpa's Sippy Time Beer, so grandkids, you have a good night.